Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Tallulah.
Don't worry if you haven't heard about ataxia before. It's pretty rare, and we're going to explain it to you now.
Ataxia is the umbrella term for a group of neurological conditions that gradually destroys your cerebellum and affects your ability to control movement and send signals throughout your nervous system. This means people are less likely to have control over their legs and movement.
That's why I'm in a wheelchair.
And that's why I use a stick to get around.
There are different types of ataxia. I have Friedreich's ataxia, which is the most common type.
And I have ARIA 2, a rare type. But there are lots of different types of ataxia. In fact, over 200 types of ataxia have been discovered, including spinocerebellar ataxia type 1, gluten, episodic, you get the gist.
There are around 10,000 adults and 500 children diagnosed with ataxia in the UK. Each person is affected in their own way, and even when there are more than one person in the same family with ataxia, symptoms can vary and affect people differently.
Ataxia also doesn't discriminate. Children as young as 2 can start to develop symptoms, while some adults in old age are also diagnosed. Some ataxias are genetic, while other ataxias are acquired through circumstances such as brain injury, alcohol misuse, or even gluten intolerance.
So you're probably wondering how this affects our daily lives. Like we mentioned before, the disruption in our brain causes us to lose balance and coordination. And for those who are still able to walk, they might find it difficult or even impossible to without an aid. And simple things can be a challenge, like speaking, writing, and carrying drinks. Ataxia can also cause heart problems and eventually take over its ability to beat.
Currently, there are no cures for ataxia, which means our progressive condition will only worsen. As a rare condition, the diagnosis rate for people with ataxia is also very low. It took a whole decade before I was diagnosed with ataxia.
For those who have been diagnosed, there are various approaches to controlling our symptoms as best we can. For example, physiotherapy, speech and language therapy, and occupational therapy.
Living with ataxia can also be a struggle. Ataxia makes daily tasks a challenge, such as getting out of bed to taking a shower, and that's without being mistaken as drunk when I'm walking.
But there is support and hope.
I have made a group of friends within the ataxia community who are in a similar situation to me.
And I have a wonderful, supportive fiance. When we came, we present talks together about love and disability, as well as groundbreaking research that continues to search for treatment and ultimately a cure.
We're a strong community, and together we will beat ataxia.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today, I am going to look at a condition that is not spoken about very often. In fact, very few people may be aware of this condition. And I have as my special guest, Alanda Sandiford, to share more about ataxia. Welcome to the program, Alana.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and thanks for having me on your program.
It's a pleasure to chat with you. So, Alanda, let's start by learning what is ataxia.
Okay. Ataxia is a neurological condition, and it means without coordination. It can be caused by nerve damage of the cerebellum. It can be hereditary, caused by a dominant defective gene passed from a parent to a child. It is progressive and degenerative. And there are several types of ataxia. We don't know anything much about them, but there is no cure. And the ataxia affects balance and coordination.
Okay. Can you tell us about some of the types of ataxia?
I don't know much about the types because it's so much research being done now. But I know some of the recognizable symptoms of ataxia.
Okay, share that with us.
It affects balance and coordination. And there's poor coordination of muscles of the hands, arms, legs, fingers, even the eye and the throat. There's slurring of speech and a difficulty in writing or using the fine motor skills. And as it progresses, the thought processes of brain is slow or something's mixed up. So you want to say something and you know what you want to say, but it doesn't always come up correct.
Okay, so share with us how you first learned or discovered that you have ataxia.
It was all through my husband, really. He told me he wasn't too sure about my hearing. So he told me to go to an ENT specialist and get my ears checked out. So I went to Dr. Clark, God rest his soul, and he was a bit concerned. He wasn't concerned about the ears because he said I was hearing very well, but he was concerned about my back off balance. So he gave me a referral to see Dr. Ben Stabler. And just as he had said, Stabler said, I am concerned about the fact that there's no balance and your ears are perfect. So he gave me a paper, another referral to go and see a neurologist. But I think I didn't really take this seriously because I had the paper and I kept it for a long while before even going to see anybody. Because at that time, I wasn't shaky nor didn't have any imbalance or anything. So I really didn't go right away. But in 2013, I went to a retirement function for a friend. And when it ended, somebody said to me, so you drank all the alcohol. I said, why you say that? She said, because your speech is slurred. I said, my speech slurred? Because I could not understand that. And she told me, yes, your speech is slurred. And I didn't recognize it at the same time. And it lasted about 8 or 10 minutes. And that was my first sign that made me go then to the neurologist.
Okay, so after your visit with the neurologist and you were informed that you have ataxia, how would you say you dealt with that information? How did you cope afterwards?
Well, I must say that even though I was diagnosed, the ataxia was at the point where it wasn't progressing quickly because it moves very, very slowly. So I was like normal. I didn't have anything to think about or change my habits or anything. I just continued like normal.
At this stage, when you discovered that you have ataxia, were you working or were you just at home as a housewife?
I was working, and that kind of brought it home to me forcibly. Because I could not understand how sometimes stepping up on a curb was a problem or climbing stairs, especially coming down the stairs, was a difficulty. I had to hold on to the rails and I could not understand what was really happening. If I was lifting books or anything, it felt heavy in my hand. So that kind of gave me an inkling that something was really going wrong.
And then how would you say you adjusted to the changes that were happening in your body?
Well, I have a very small family and a very wide circle of wonderful friends. So everybody was very supportive. My husband, if I had to go upstairs, he would wait for me at the bottom and carry me up, wait for me at the top and bring me back down. So I had his support. And as I said, there was no great adjustment to be made because it was progressing very, very slowly. Even the furniture, nothing in the house I had to move. I just had to hold on the wall or press on the chair and that was it.
Okay. So this is 10 years later after your diagnosis. Would you say that you've noticed significant deterioration?
Definitely. As I said, my thought processes, sometimes I want to say something. I know what I want to say, but it doesn't always come out right. And movement, my balance is really not there. If I have to step out or go anywhere, my husband goes with me and he holds me so that I wouldn't fall because I start to shake. And sometimes I can walk and go along as if nothing is wrong. And my hands have a tremor. But again, you don't see it often. I may go to hold a plate and it will drop out my hand because of the tremor.
Okay. Now, Grantley, I want to involve you here at this point. As the husband, noticing, you know, that your wife's ataxia is impacting her movement and so, how would you say you felt about learning about this and then adjusting to the necessary changes?
Well, one of the things that Alanda probably didn't remember to mention, we went through the same things with her mom, but at the time, nobody apparently knew as much of ataxia as now. So we used to look after mom just the same way as this household now would look after Alanda. If she had to get up and go anywhere, we would get up and go and assist her. And it's the same procedure with Alanda. But I am one of these persons that don't let anything faze me. I take everything in stride. So I wouldn't say that I am worried. But yes, I'm worried if she's alone and she has to move. For instance, if I'm leaving home, I usually tell her, keep off the stairs. Do not go up the stairs.
So right.
That would be my only concern. But I am no retard, so I feel a lot better being home around her so that I can give her any support she needs, because both of our children are working. So it then leaves just she and I at home during the day. If I have to go anywhere, I try and do it as quickly as possible and get back here. I usually joke to my friends, when I leave home, I usually tell my wife to stay off the stairs, because I don't want to go home and find her under the stairs and then the police hassling me, figuring I push her down the stairs.
Understood. Now, you have retired and you're performing the role of caregiver as well. You know, your husband still, but you're also in another role of caregiver. How would you say that has impacted your life?
Well, like I said, I am at the stage of my life where I have accepted that I am not a young boy anymore. I've been there, I've done that, so I don't let those kind of things worry. I can sit down home, watch the television, read the newspaper. Well, I usually go on WhatsApp and check in with friends, and sometimes Facebook, check in with friends. And that's about it. My favorite thing is music, and once music is playing, I'm fine.
Okay. No, this is not part of the script, but I am really curious to find out, how did both of you meet? How did you meet?
Well, actually, I had seen her one evening, and when she passed, she said, hello, good evening, and she went her way. And for some reason, that stayed in my mind for a long while, and I was itching to see this person again.
And then I had a pomegranate tree, and every time he passed, he would pick the pomegranates from the tree.
Not knowing that
not knowing that I lived there, but he would pick each single pomegranate.
So it so happened that one afternoon, for some reason, I left work and I was on my way home, and I saw her. I said, that looked like the same person that I saw some weeks ago. And I stopped, reversed the car, and went, introduced myself and ask her for her phone number and so on. She said she does not give up her phone number. I said, well, where are you going? She said, I'm going home. I said, well, I won't mind giving you a ride home. She said, you sure you want? I said, yes, I will give you a ride home. I dropped her home. Well, the trick was to see where she lived.
I know.
And that was it. From there, actually, we would call one another on the phone and speak for some time. And after a while, she invited me home by her. I went home by her, met her mom and so on. And I saw how caring she was to her mom, and that made up my mind.
Okay. So was it love at first sight for you, Alanda, or it took a little while?
No, it was love at first sight. I must say, from the time I saw him, I found him really a very genuine person, very caring. But usually, I must say that even though I'm giving you this information, I'm not giving it as a medical expert. It comes through my own experiences and what has happened to me and what I read or what I researched. But I wouldn't say that I'm giving expert medical knowledge.
Okay. Well, I know that you're not giving it as a medical expert, but it is still important for you to share your perspective and understanding of what ataxia is and how it is impacting you. So that's okay.
That's why I wanted to have a meeting, not a formation of an association, just a meeting. A meeting where people can be made aware of ataxia and to offer support and let others know that they are not alone out there. To also recognize and take the symptoms seriously. Because sometimes people feel a dizziness, and everybody knows the word vertigo. So from the time they feel a dizziness, they say, oh, it must be vertigo. And they don't go and get it checked out. They don't go to a doctor and get an MRI or get something done about it. So I wanted to have a meeting where people can talk about their symptoms and take the symptoms seriously. So I thought about having this meeting, as I said, on Saturday, the 18th of May, at 4 o'clock at the Vauxhall Church Annex. And as I said, it is not a formation of association. It's just a sit down and a meet and greet and what people become aware of, because different people have different symptoms.
So you really want to get like a support group so that individuals who may be experiencing ataxia can just come together, as you say, share their experiences and gain support, gain that encouragement from one another.
Very much so, and to share experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I found that for me, the ataxia is ruled by my diet. If I eat anything with sugar at all, just one tea time biscuit, and I eat it, my feet feel like cardboard. They don't want to move, do it, throw me down. My fingers are all numb, all because of sugar. And sometimes it takes about 3 days for me drinking a lot of water for it to come on my system. So I found that sugars, artificial sweeteners, they have the same effect as sugars. Cakes, cookies, chocolates, candies, anything with sugar, and white flour, sweetened fruit juices, and cold beverages all affect me the same as well. I get all of those from my diet. I don't know if that might affect somebody else. Somebody else might have different symptoms, or might not realize what is happening to them when they use sugar and they still continue to use sugar. But for me, I've taken all those things out of my diet.
Okay. So, Alanda, after you discovered that you have ataxia, did that cause you to retire early, or were you able to continue working for a while?
I worked for quite a while, but it's only when I realized, as I said before, that I found that stepping up on curbs or even driving where my feet felt numb and would not press the brake, I said, look, it's time for me to stop. And that is when I came out from teaching.
Okay. And in many cases, when a family member acquire a disability or have a severe medical challenge, it can be very impactful on the family. And you are one of the fortunate families where your husband and children are loving and still very supportive. What would you say to a parent, a sibling, a husband or wife that the family member has ataxia or a disability, what would you say to them?
I would think that support and understanding, because you have to realize that this is the same person that you are always with, only that they have a disability or they have a problem. So with love and support from your husband or from your parent, that can go a long way.
Well, the research does show that the love, support, and encouragement of family members is vital to the healing and survival of individuals with any medical condition or disability.
One of the measures that I find that we can use is that to see more frequent exposure given to the condition. And when I say frequent exposure, I mean like radio or TV programs that can bring about an awareness of the ataxia, where people can be exposed, as I said, by medical experts to the symptoms to look for, giving you a general knowledge. Because to me, everybody knows of MS, multiple sclerosis, and MG, myasthenia gravis. But even though ataxia is out there, some have never heard of it or don't recognize the symptoms. So that is also another reason for the meeting.
Okay, great. And Grantley,
yeah,
as you said, you made your own adjustments. What about your children? Did you have to speak to them? Did y'all have like a family conference to share the information and discuss the way forward?
Well, there wasn't much of a discussion of the way forward because everyone here has seen and accepted what is happening, and each and every one of us pitch in and do our part.
As the ataxia progresses, even stepping down the step, my son is there and my husband is there. It's not a case of having to tell them or anything. They realize that there's a difference in mom, and they're all very helpful, very supportive.
Okay. So, Grantley, you know, in our culture, in the Caribbean especially, men tend to shy away or even disappear. What would you say to other males whose partner or child may have a disability or some severe medical condition?
All right, well, let me answer this way. I grew up in a village where I had the full support of family and practically the whole village. So I know what it is when you are, you know, there's a saying, to whom much is given, much is expected. Well, I'm a grandmother child, and my grandmother left a greater impression on me than my mother and father and some of the people in the district. Even up to this day, there are persons who live in the United States, the United Kingdom. They are much older than I am. Whenever they come to Barbados, they always make sure to come and look for me. There are people who helped to raise and mold me, and I have a great deal of respect for. So I try to do the same among my friends and my close family.
And can I get in here? If you're with some person, you're with the person for many years, that doesn't change the person. It changes just their ability, but it doesn't change your care and your love for that person.
I would say that today it might be you, and I might not know that tomorrow is my turn. So I will do the best I can today, because once I do the best I can, somebody will do something for me. That's the way I see it.
But I think your point is extremely valid in today's society, where we, the older ones, definitely need to mentor and give support to not just our family members, but others who are also in need. Yes. They need that emotional support. It's not just about the finance, but also the emotional support, the guidance, you know, to help in making some of the better choices.
Sometimes finance don't even come. You need to have a good support circle, and it does not always mean finance.
Correct.
Just a hello, how you doing, and a smile, that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, encouragement is vital.
I have a granddaughter doing the 11 plus this morning, and the last thing I did last night was say a prayer. Mind you, I don't profess to be a Christian, but as I say to you, I'm a grandmother child, and I never saw her went to sleep at night or got up in the morning without prayers and praying for her family, especially me. She always used to ask God to keep her eyes open till I make a man. And fortunately, that is exactly what happened. When my grandmother died, I was 23 years old. And this morning when I got up, I say another prayer for my granddaughter that, you know, she would do the best she can. And whatever she does, well, that is what God would have ordained. And I called her and gave her some encouragement, and that was it. And I guess if most people would take the pressure off by just giving more encouragement rather than, oh, you must be this, you must be that, I think they would do a better job.
Mm-hmm. Now, Grantley, as you and Alanda move around the country, how accessible do you find it? Is it easy to navigate?
Well, it is not as good as it should be. But as I say, Alanda and I, we do not have any problems. Even her friends, when they go anywhere, they don't really have any problem because they're always there to lend support.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there aren't facilities that would be needed, you know, like better ramps, better sidewalks, and so on, but there's not much we can do about that because we see how the society is.
Even if I go out the house, my friends, they're wonderful. They would come for me, take me, hold me. They would make sure that I don't tremble or that I don't fall. And my husband does the same thing. From 10 years ago, he opens the door, carries me right down, hold on to my hand. And even though I'm using a cane, I still have his support. You know?
Mm-hmm. What are some of the changes that you would like to see to make the environment more accessible?
For persons with ataxia, as I said just now, I see that you need to have more programs where you can be exposed to the symptoms of ataxia, because ataxia can lead to wheelchair use if your muscles aren't being used. So I would like to see or hear more.
That more information is in the public domain.
Yes.
For ataxia, since it is not a well-known
condition. Exactly.
All right. Now, generally, as you're saying, ataxia is not very known in our society. And in my reading, I saw, you know, that there are several support groups in other countries to give the individual and the family some more information as well as some encouragement and guidance in how to manage their ataxia. Is that the type of program you're looking for?
Yes and no, because as I said, I don't want to form an association because my thought process is sometimes I'm going to say something, I want to say something, and don't always come out, or don't always come out right. So I don't want to be in charge of something when I'm not able. Or it comes to the point where you have to use a wheelchair, but I would like that people know about it so that family members can be more supportive and more caring and more understanding.
Well, Ms. Wickham, I guess what Alanda is trying to point to is a situation where the medical professionals who would have the information and expertise on ataxia, you know, you have information almost every day on weight loss, nutrition, high blood pressure,
cancer,
and those kind of things. Well, we would like to see something like that being done with ataxia. And I don't even know if there are many physicians in this country who would be able to disseminate that kind of information, except for the professionals who Alanda would have attended, and I would not want to make any plug for them. But hopefully they will hear this program and try to assist in any way they can in disseminating information and giving people the do's and don'ts and what they expect and so on.
Right.
Don't let them forget the meeting on Saturday, the 18th of May at 4 o'clock at the Vauxhall Methodist Church Annette, and we are all going to meet there.
Is there a contact number that persons can reach out to you?
Yes, the landline is 432-9317 and the cell phone 239-9435. Let me give those numbers again.
Yes.
Yes, the landline is 432-9317 and the cell is 239-9435.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Alanda and Grantley, for sharing your experiences and also reaching out to others so that they too can gain support and learn more about what is ataxia and how best to cope with it.
And thank you very much for having us on the program, and do have a wonderful day.
And thanks as
thank
well.
You. Thank you. Thank you. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guests, Alanda and Grantley Sandiford. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. You can also go to the VOB929.com website and listen to this and past episodes. So until next week, remember, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Until then, ciao!